Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. How'd you like that for an introduction to the message? You know, Vivian, we got such a good media team. I can say that because I'm down here and they're up there. But she pre-service, she was looking through some stuff and found this video. And I said, gosh, that would be such a good opening to the worship. I said, but I really want to use it before I speak. Because really, that should have been, I hope you were paying attention to the words, because that should have been a prayer. And hopefully you were reading it and kind of keeping up with it. Because we've got a challenge today. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look to the person to your left and say, God's got a word for you. Now look to the person to the right. Say, God's got a word for you too. So I want to pray. Can we pray? Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask that you would speak through me today, that you would help me to speak clearly, that the message would come through, and that, Lord, if there's anything preconceived in my mind, that you would erase it, and that it would only be from you today. Father, and I ask you to give ears to hear for us, not for me, not for them, for us as a collective congregation. So, Father, speak to us, change us, make us more like you in Jesus' name. So, how many of you guys need an update? Thank you, Lee. At least one of us do. I'm not talking about a news update or anything like this, but you need an update. So, today's message is called You 2.0. How many of you know you need to get some improvement? Here's what Wikipedia says. Wikipedia defines the era in which we live now as the information age, also known as the computer age, digital age, or new media age. It's a historic period in the 21st century characterized by the rapid shift from traditional industry that the Industrial Revolution brought through industrialization to an economy based on information technology. And I think, I mean, that's a lot of words and stuff, but if you sit there and think about it, that's really where we live. So let me ask you this. How many of you have smartphones? Just, you know, at youth, we collect them. You laugh, but this was started a couple of years ago. We take up offering, and the bucket goes around, and the phones go in. Now, Pastor Terry doesn't do that yet, because so far you folks are pretty well behaved. But I will say, from the media booth, we can see a lot of things. And I'll leave it at that, because so far you haven't seen your over the back of your shoulder on a screen. Yet. Just saying. I do have to share this because it was funny. I won't call the person out. They may or may not be here today. But I was running camera one day and looked down and saw this individual on their tablet. I thought, oh, praise God, they're using their digital Bible. No, they weren't. They were on YouTube looking up recipes. Sorry that you have to know that, Pastor. I did go to the individual after the service. I said, just so you know, some people can see that, and I may or may not decide to put it up on the screen next week. You know, they haven't done that since. So, anyway, but how many of you have on your phone, your tablet, your computer, occasionally you have to perform an update, right? I mean, you know, you can't just stick with the same old operating system. Eventually, there needs to be an update. And to perform a software update, let me ask you this. Does the physical look of the device change. Really. So the phone or computer doesn't morph into something else like a water bottle. What you're telling me is the device itself stays the same. So tell me what changes when an update takes place.
The way it thinks.
What else?
The way it operates.
When you do an update on your digital device, the device itself does not change its physical appearance. Now, if you're like me, sometimes when that update takes place, it takes longer than I think it should. And there's a temptation to make the physical appearance change and morph into something that I may or may not be able to use at a later date. Am I the only one? I mean, you have felt like just slinging these things. Am I the only one who has spoken to your phone? And I'm not talking about, hey, Siri, call my wife, but you've spoken to your device in words that you would just as soon not repeat on a Sunday morning in church. You know, I find it funny because I will speak to this inanimate object knowing in a good way that it's not going to talk back to me. But I sure wish that it would just do what I want it to do sometimes. Amen? So anyway, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. So the bottom line, this device does not change its physical appearance. It just changes the way it performs, changes the way it behaves. It even changes the way it responds to certain commands. Okay, you see where we're going with this? I hope so. At Youth, we do messages in series. We're currently in a series called God Stories. And we're learning that each one of us has a story. Each thing has a story. You know, this sanctuary has got so many stories. This carpet, well, I'll go back to the old blue carpet that was here. That carpet had so many stories. Am I right, Pastor? This building itself has got stories. You know, these side wings used to not be here. How many people remember that? They used to be little Sunday school rooms. This building's got a story. So if this building has a story and our carpet can have a story, don't you think you have a story? And you've got one to tell. However, along the way, you might need to change your story and change your path. What we studied in youth recently, in Acts 9, Saul was beginning to become Paul. Now, we learned that if you have a legitimate, I'm talking about a real experience with a living God, your life is going to be different. If you have, I'm not talking about just, you know, an emotional feeling. I'm talking about a real experience. Your life is going to be different. This phone is going to be different. If it has a certain kind of experience with me, some of you know what I mean. Others of you are like, oh, what are you talking? If this doesn't do what I want, I'm probably not going to throw it, but I'm going to feel like it. Anybody ever thrown a phone? Okay, I'm looking at my kids because I know. But mostly, okay, some people have. Did it solve the problem? Jason says no. Did it solve it at all? Okay, they're saying no. But did it make you feel better temporarily? I mean, you know, just to, have you seen the Liberty Mutual commercial where the guy throws his wallet in the bay? You know, that's the kind of the feeling you have. It's like, boy, this sounds like a good idea now. I wish I hadn't done that. Well, you might need an operating system update. But what we learned was that Saul, when he became Paul, he had a legitimate experience with a living God that made him blind for 3 days. The man was blind. I mean, you know, the guy could see, you know, he could sing the song, I once could see, but now I'm blind, you know. And I mean, that's weird. You know, good grief, why would God blind somebody? Well, because I have learned that he will do what it takes to get your attention. I mean, he will. And that's a good thing, even though it doesn't feel like it at the same time. at that time. But you know, what we learned was that even though Saul became Paul, he was still the same person. He was still the same physical being. The passion that was in Saul to kill Christians was still there when he became one who followed Christ. You think about how passionate the man was. It was actually part of his spiritual DNA to be a passionate follower. Amen? Got any passionate followers in here today? So, you know, now let me ask you this. Like Saul, have any of you ever, let's just be honest, felt like you were doing the right thing and then found out you weren't? Let's be honest. Okay, most of you are honest. We'll talk after. We'll have a good altar call and, you know, free you up from lying in church. But, you know, Saul thought, because of his education, his religious upbringing, that he was doing the right thing. He thought he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And God had to say, son, you're killing my people. We're going to deal with this, and we're going to deal with this now. So Paul, once he had that real, I think that's an undeniable, legitimate experience with the living God, knocked him off his horse, made him blind for 3 days, and then he became Paul. And that passion was still in him. It was still in him. If you look at Acts 8:1 concerning the stoning of Stephen for preaching the gospel of Jesus as the Messiah, he was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. That's not just, I think it's an okay idea, guys. Hearty agreement. I mean, what does that look like? It might be okay. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. No, hearty agreement is like, stone him. Here, I'll give you the rocks. Let's kill this guy. That's hearty agreement. And then all of a sudden, Paul got an operating system update. Like Paul, I think sometimes we're usually our own worst enemy. If you look in Proverbs 14:12, it says this: there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So again, I've had ways in my life that seemed really right, but they weren't. And I love that the author of Proverbs, just in case you missed this verse in Proverbs 14, if you go to Proverbs 16, he said, look, I'm thinking, and this is me, this is Russell translation. You know, I don't think they got it. A couple chapters ago, I wrote this down. I think I'm going to write it again. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So just in case we didn't get it the first go around, sometimes we need to understand there is a way. There is a way that seems right to me. It may or may not be right. It may or may not be God. So how am I going to know if the way that seems right to me is God's way? Well, I've got to have a legitimate, real experience with a living God, and I may just have to have an operating system update to where I line up with the plan that God has for my life. Amen? Now, those of you who have had, let me just see, raise your phones. Everybody raise your phone who has had an update. You've done an update on this, okay? See, it's not just young people, it's those of us of older than youth age. Now, when you have done this update, have you found out that some of the apps and some of the programs you had previously, don't work right? What? So you mean I can take this phone that I've had, I can do a manufacturer-recommended update, and some of the things I had aren't going to function properly? Well, that's not right. That is just messed up. That causes me frustration. With this, y'all laughing over there? But we've all felt that. Now, that's just not right. But see, sometimes, and I'll just be honest, when we get that update in us, some of the things that we used to do aren't going to work. When we have that legitimate experience, just like Saul, some of the ways of thinking and behaviors that he had were not going to work anymore. There was going to be some conflict between the old operating system of Saul and the new operating system of Paul that God gave him. And we go through that. We're like, God, why is this so hard? Well, it's because you're still trying to use an old app that's not going to work on the new operating system. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there is stuff that we're still trying to operate in, and we're still trying to do these tasks and behaviors and ways of thinking that won't work anymore. And we try and we try and we try and we try and we try, and we're like, what is going on? And we may even make some statements like this. Well, the screen looks different. Well, you know, my apps are out of place. My stuff is not where it was. And we may even make the statement of, I like the old way better. Okay, I'm just checking, make sure we're talking to the right people here. Didn't know if it was just me, if I'm all alone in this struggle. Because I don't know about you guys, but the struggle is real when it comes to that. But you know, and they call this issue compatibility issues. Once you install this update, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, you may have some compatibility issues. And I'll just share a brief testimony of my pastor and I. This man puts together most of the newsletter, right? Well, he does it on a program on his MacBook called Pages, okay? It's an older version than the version I have. So I go in and add something about youth or something like that, open up the program, think I'm doing a great thing on the new updated version, and then Pastor Terry calls me and says, hey, I can't open the newsletter. Well, why not? Well, he's got an old version. So I'm thinking, man, you need to update. And he's like, no, you need to not open that like that so I can continue to work on the newsletter. That's true. It's true. Now, I'm playing it up, but it's not animosity or anything like that. It's an acknowledgement of an old program versus a new program. So we have to work around that and learn to still be compatible with each other so that I don't just go in and say, well, fine, sorry, I'm adding my stuff. And he could say, well, I'm not going to give you access to it. We have to learn to be compatible. Doesn't mean that we're going to agree on every single thing, but I want to be compatible so that we can have newsletters on Sunday morning. As something as simple as that. But these operating system updates, again, even with us, when the Holy Spirit tries to do an operating system update in you, it will probably cause some compatibility issues with your old way of thinking. And you're going to think, well, gosh, why don't I want to do this same thing anymore? Why do these habits not appeal to me anymore? And then you may even try to engage in some of those old ways and find that they don't satisfy like they used to. Why is that? Well, you got an operating system update. You got some compatibility issues. Those apps are not going to work. Now, you can continue and press your luck and end up, because I've had people, I sell computers and projectors and sound systems and stuff to schools and churches. I've had some schools say, look, I don't like this new operating system. Can you take our computers back to the old operating system? Well, we can, but what you need to do is learn to use the new operating system. Because it will be very expensive to back that out and take it to an older operating system. It'll take a lot of time. And in the end, you're not going to be happy. Let's move to the new current operating system. So let's look at this scripture, because this is sort of what goes on. Romans 6, verses 1 through 3 and 6 and 7. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Well, may it never be. How shall we who died in sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Well, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. That's what we're talking about. May it never be. May we not try to go back to old ways of thinking and old operating systems and old applications and programs in our life. When we get that legitimate, real experience with Jesus Christ, the living God, then let's move to the new operating system. And if there's some old apps that need to be done away with, then I'm sitting up here this morning on my iPad looking through some stuff. I'm like, I have not used that app since I got it. Delete, 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 delete. And there may be some relationships that change when you get this new operating system we're talking about. You may need to go through and go, no, I'm going to delete that one. I may need to get an update. Now, let me give a qualifier here. I'm not endorsing any married couples in here to say, you know what? I need an update. No, I'm not saying that. And I don't know why I felt prompted. You know, you better just make this clear. You know, while Russell said, man, honey, I love you and all, but, you know, you're outdated. I need a new operating system for my spouse. Now, I don't. I have a wonderful wife, and she's serving in nursery, and I'm so grateful for her. You know, but so I'm not saying that. I'm glad I got at least one amen. And you know, that one amen came from what sounded like a man. I really expected the women to go, amen. But be that as it may, let's just move on here quickly. Here's a quote. In May of 2016, there's a guy named Mike Wadera. He's a contributing writer for TechCrunch website. Here's what he said. The information age is over. Welcome to the experience age. I want you to think about that phrase, because this guy, I mean, and I read some of his articles and get his email stuff because I like technology. It's kind of a love-hate relationship we have. I think most of us can agree and understand that. But what he said, you know, the information age is done. We're into the experience age. Now, think about that. And the young people will understand this. When Facebook came along, even teenagers were jumping on Facebook and social media in that platform, right? At first. Well, then all of us old folks started getting on Facebook. That's no longer cool. So the teenagers and younger generations started getting Snapchat and all these other ones, because Facebook, when it first came out, was more informational. Oh, there's a wedding, there's, you know, whatever. And you had a few little emojis that you could respond to and this kind of thing. Of course, now it has updated to more of an experiential type social media platform. But when it first came out, you know, we adults liked it because, well, it's easy. I can get on there and I can talk to people around the world. I can just give them some information. Snapchat came along, and all of a sudden, you are sharing experiences immediately. I mean, you are video. Now, of course, you have Facebook Live, YouTube Live, all this kind of stuff. And you're immediately sharing experiences with people. So no longer is it just information. You are actually sharing life experiences virtually, immediately with people. I want you, I mean, I think that's a realistic quote and thing that he said, because right now there is an ocean of social media platforms out there, and they've changed over the years to all we need is this little device. And we used to have a young man in youth, he would not yield to the smartphone. He had a flip phone, and he was late teens, early 20s, and he said he called it his iFlip 6. And he would just flip that. He resisted it for a long time. But, you know, this is all I need to communicate. My wife is going to Ecuador in October on a mission trip. This is really all I need to communicate. Well, yeah, to communicate to her. I can see her. We can do FaceTime. That's it. We can share an experience. Now, again, it's not the same as being there, but we can certainly share the experience. But to quote Mike Wadera again, referring to our social media presence, you are not your profile. We all go on there and we set up a profile. We set, you know, get a nice picture or whatever of what we might want to do. And then I get updates from people all the time, though they change their profile picture, and that's fine. You are not your profile. And I want you to understand that, because that should free some people today and should probably and will probably be a caution to others of us. What do you mean? That's me. No, it's not who you are. That is a digital representation of who you are or who you would like to be. We might need an operating system update if we get too deep into that way of thinking. So anyway, the manufacturer of any computer-based product creates it When this phone came out, it had an original operating system. When my laptop came out and I picked it up, it had an original operating system installed on it from the manufacturer. So do we. When we are born into this world, we have an inborn operating system that is drawn to the heart of God. Now, yes, we're born, you know, as sinners and this kind of thing. We got to come to the Lord. I get that. But he put something inside of us that yearns for him. And not just information about him, but an experience with him. Does that make sense? And so, but all of a sudden, through just like computers, just like devices, we go through wear and tear, use and abuse. For those of you who have flung your phones against walls and floors and things, that happens. And it happens to us. We have wear and tear, use and abuse. And just life happens sometimes. So sometimes we need to download from the manufacturer in order to bring things back into right order. Sometimes I need to get this thing back to original specs. And that's when we get into things like a reset. And I love this little image I found online when I was preparing this message. Reset. Do you want to start over? What did you say? Anytime? Anytime. So let me just ask you, do you want to start over? I do. You know, the old movie City Slickers, you remember that? With was it Billy Crystal and Jack Palance was the rough, rugged cowboy. And they got a do-over. You remember the do-over? Man, sometimes I need a do-over. I just want to, let me just wipe the memory from this and let me just start fresh. Well, the Lord says, I'm here and I'm ready to do that for you, but it's going to take an operating system update. It's going to take two types of resets. A soft reset is a restart of a device such as a smartphone, tablet, laptop, personal computer, or person. This action closes applications and clears any data in the RAM, the random access memory. Anybody got random access memory? You laugh, but you got places in your brain, and you can just go back and recall memories, just randomly. You know, I can remember stuff from 40, yeah, some things from 40 years ago. Some things I can't. But some things, you know, the enemy will try to come in and go, hey, you remember this? Remember this sin? That it's embedded in my random access memory that I can pull up or the enemy can remind me of at any point. But this soft reset gets rid of that, and unsaved data in current use may be lost, which may be a good thing for some of us, but data stored on the hard drive, applications, and settings are not affected. So in other words, that soft reset just gets rid of some things, closes some things, and the Lord comes in and just deals with some small issues and this kind of thing. But what's on the hard drive, your heart, your mind, is still there. And this is a good thing occasionally. It kind of refreshes things. But sometimes you need a hard reset. A hard reset, also known as factory or master reset. Not my words. This is looked it up as a definition. But we need a reset from the master sometimes. And as Christians, we know what that means. We know who the master really is. It's a restoration of a device to the state it was in when it left the factory. In other words, for us, it restores us, their word, back to its original condition when it left the factory. All settings, applications, and data added by the user are removed. Now, I like the fact that my master can do that to me. That he can come in and close the mess I've been dealing with and get rid of the stuff. And then anything that I have added through use or abuse or experience that does not resemble God, he can come in and do a hard reset and go, let's start over. All this stuff that has been added by the user is gone. Now we can start fresh. Now what I don't like is some of that stuff I wanted to keep. I really wanted to hang on to that folder. I mean, I've been working on that folder for 50 years, for a couple of years. I've got some memories that I want to hang on to. And the Lord will say, well, you just need to do a soft reset and move on with your life. Or we can say, God, I need a hard reset. I'm okay if you get rid of the stuff that I like to get me back to a starting point with you so that we can move forward. Hard resets. Romans 12:2. Love this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, something else to be aware of, I think we all probably are, going through this process, going through an operating system update, it's going to take time. Okay? I know you can't see that on there, but I've gone through this with my MacBook, and you're going along. Now, it says about 8 minutes remaining. That is a lie. Because when that little status bar is that only that far in, 8 minutes quickly jumps to several hours. And then it makes me get frustrated again with the computer, and I'm like, you are, speaking to the computer, you are such a stupid piece of equipment. It's doing exactly what the manufacturer wants it to do. The creator of this thing, who knows a whole lot more about how it should operate than I do, God knows a whole lot more about how we should operate than we do, and how we should respond in certain situations, and some ways and behaviors, and how we react to certain commands or requests need to be modified. So, how many of you have done that? And then the bad thing is, we can't even put our life on pause, even if this is accurate and it says, what, 8 minutes? Oh, it's about 8 minutes remaining. 8 minutes? I don't have 8 minutes. Oh, my gosh. I got to get on with my life. I have to get back on Candy Crush. Look, I've got to post. I've got to post my latest status. I've got to check Instagram. I got to see what's going on and see what other people are doing. I don't have 8 minutes. Because during an update and a reset, you probably can't use this. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What do you mean? What do you mean, Lord? I have to wait. Wait? Are you kidding me? How many of you guys use the YouVersion Bible app? Highly encouraged. Great Bible app. I was doing a recent one called Soul Rest Devotion. And that crazy devotion wanted me to do certain things each day, like stop and reflect. My honest thought was, I don't have time to do that. Well, the whole point of that devotion is to get you to stop and rest and give some time. And I'm like, I got too much to do. Really? You got too much to do. I tell the youth all the time, I'm not telling you to give up gaming and social media and all this, but what I am saying, in comparison to the amount of time you spend on it, let's devote some of that to God. So I will challenge us to do the same. The amount of time in comparison that we get on this social media and this kind of stuff, and I don't have time to do an update. Let's just take some of that time, because we've all got 24 hours in a day. It is totally up to you what you do with it. Well, I have to do this. Some things you have to do. Other things, it's a choice. We say time management. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. I was recently at a school and setting up the teacher computers for the school's about to start in a couple of days. And it was a Windows computer. You're familiar with Cortana on the Windows computer? She irritates me. When I start setting up one of the computers and she's, how may I help you? Mute. Let's move on. Let's get past this. But then comes this phrase that says, let's see, we're getting your computer ready for you. This could take a while. Who is we? There's this inanimate object in front of me telling me, hey, just be patient. We're getting things ready. It was very soothing at first, but quickly became irritating because I don't have time to wait on this. I got more computers to do. We're getting this ready for you. This could take a while. We're giving you an update on your operating system. Scott, this could take a while. God. And then we get into the thing, well, I don't have time to do that. You know, we have spent years and years and years of our life living out experiences. Some we have suffered at the hands of others. Amen? Some parts of our lives, we have just made a mess of ourselves. And then we want this operating system update right now. Okay, God, I'm ready. I have plugged into my power source, because that's what they tell you. Plug it into your power source so you can do this. And fix me now. And then we're surprised when we're not fixed immediately. And write it off as, well, this God stuff just doesn't work. I asked him for an operating system update. My little progress bar was going along, and all of a sudden it just stopped. Well, that's because we're getting this ready for you. This could take a while. You'll be okay. So did you, when you got your first phone update, did you just leave it at that one? Did you find out a little while later they came out with a new update? And you had to do that so it would be compatible with current things that you're doing? See, we are the same way. We don't just get one update. We're in constant need of updates. You know, Kim shared when she got saved, and you were, when was that? 23. I won't ask you how old you are now. Well, you confessed that up here, actually, Kim. I mean, you know. Just 6 years ago, she got saved. But no, I was 10 years old. And that was a major update for my life. But I found out as I walked through life and things happened to me and I made certain choices, you know what? I needed some more updates because my operating system had changed from when I first got that first update. I needed to go, you know what? The way I'm doing in relationships, it's not working. I need to change the way I'm thinking. I need to get a download from the manufacturer who knows how to work this body and mind and heart better than I do. And it could take a while. But we want it now. We want it now. And I think the problem is, you know, we get comfortable with the familiar and resist the change that the Holy Spirit is attempting to bring about in our life, really for our own good. And the words that my wife and I were discussing just this weekend, two words, content and settled. And those are different words. Paul understood this difference. If you look at Philippians 4, 11 through 13, he says, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be what? Content in whatever circumstance I'm in. This man has had an operating system update because he's content. Listen to where he's content. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, did he limit the circumstance? Any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The difference between content and settled, let's look at these definitions. Content is a state of satisfaction. Okay, I can be satisfied in this situation. Any and every circumstance, Paul said. Any and every. Or else, you don't know what I've been through. My spouse left me, you know, my so-and-so passed away, you know, whatever. Any and every. I've learned how to be satisfied. But if you settle, you begin to feel comfortable and rest in a comfortable position. You don't think that's bad. But then the other part of this definition is to sink slowly and gradually. I am content. Well, I'm just settled. There's a big difference there. Paul did not settle for the circumstances, and neither should you. You can be content, and that's great, but you shouldn't settle. Because what happens is you settle and just stop and sit, and then you begin to sink slowly and gradually. We have to change the way we think. Back to Mike Wadera's quote regarding the shift from information age to experience age. You know, I think the Lord has been in the experience age since creation. because God did not send his son nor his word. It's a real Bible. Some of y'all don't know what these are. There's paper. Leather bound. It's a little worn. I've had this thing since 1988. And there's writing in it that I did. Writing, all these notes. Here's one from 1998. 1997. Here's one from Jason Peebles in 1997. 96. Cliff Maggard spoke a message. Here's one from 1995. Whatever you hunger and thirst for, you'll be filled with. That's good stuff. Oh, well, here's even one from 1994. I won't go through all that. But if you don't apply this, it's just information. Yeah, that's all it is. Oh, it's good information. Really good information. And even if you just pull it up, because I have had the habit of, thank you, Greg Bedford, for the text. I have gotten 5 texts. I love you guys. My daughter encourages me not to be nervous. Thank you, sweetie. But even if you open the YouVersion Bible app and go and finish your devotion, I have a tendency sometimes, because this is the same device I have Facebook on. It's the same device I have games on. Oh, did my devotion. Now I'm going to play a game or check email or whatever. What the Lord has prompted me and convicted me is I need to do the devotion and then just kind of slide it to the side and then just kind of sit there for a minute. I know a minute, it's a long time to wait in our busy lives because I don't have time for an update. But it's more than just information. It is an experience. And that's what you think about this. John 10:10 says this, a thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, who came? Jesus came so they can have real eternal life. This is out of the Message. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. But no, you don't understand. I want to keep the old operating system because I'm familiar with it. I'm comfortable with it, and it works for me. So I think what he wants us to do is get beyond the information and have an experience with him in our everyday walking around, good days, bad days, highs and lows, wonderful, horrible, miserable, joyful life that we have. And did I miss anything? Because if we're honest, we all go through those times of life. But it's all an experience. You know, we talk about, you know, trips on the youth group that we have, you know, when the brakes catch on fire. You know, when somebody goes to Sliding Rock. You ever been to Sliding Rock? And this young lady slid down in the bottom, got up out of the pool, stepped on a slick rock, fell, and bit through her bottom lip. Spent the day in the emergency room in Brevard at the hospital. You know, now she's good. It's fine. She's here. Casey, you doing okay? I called her out on it. But here's the thing. I tell the kids, because that could easily be a negative for a trip. I'm just saying. it could. Now, we didn't turn it into a positive and make fun of her or anything like that. We actually got her a T-shirt that said, I survived Sliding Rock. And we've had radiators overheat on trips. We literally have had brake drums burst into flames on a little scavenger hunt around here. We've had all these things happen. And you know what I tell them? Hey, we're just building memories. And you're like, God, that's horrible. No, because those kids will hopefully talk about the good stuff too, because they'll remember. If you ever go down to the FLC and see the youth pulpit on stage, it's built from broken skateboards. And there's pieces of broken skateboards that form a cross on the front of the pulpit. That pulpit has stories. Each one of those skateboards represents a life that was changed from coming through our youth ministry. It also represents how things can become broken and then put together to make something useful and functional. And that's what God is trying to get through to us today. So, back on the information part. If I'm going through a hard time, and I have in my life, I've gone through divorce. I've gone through the death of both parents. If all you did was come to me and just hand me a book on how to get through grief, or how to get through divorce, or how to get through the death of a parent, and that's all you gave me, and nothing more, then it's just information. And I'm going to come up short of my healing. Now, if you give me that information and then offer to meet with me, maybe, you know, take me out for lunch, you know, whatever, you know, and sit down with me and hear my story and hear my heart and grieve with me and walk with me through it like so many people did through those times in my life in this church, then you know what? I have moved from just information to experience. And I have now experienced the love, the grace, the mercy, the correction, because I've needed that from time to time. I have now gone from information about that stuff to experiencing that stuff firsthand. And then I can move forward in my healing. But if it's just information, that's all it will ever be. You know, when Michelle and I started dating and then I asked her to marry me, I was going to a life group with a bunch of married people. I was a single, divorced man, but I was going to a life group with married people because I wanted to be accountable and I didn't want to do something stupid. So I was going to them, and I think Mary Higgins, I think she was the one that said this. She looked at Michelle. She said, "You're getting the best version of that man that I've ever seen." She was getting 2.0 or 12.0 or 55.0 or whatever, you know, because I've needed some updates along the way. So, you know, I was grateful for my friend to see that there was something different in me, that I had had an operating system update about relationships, because I didn't want to go through divorce again. I wanted to have a successful marriage. Okay? So you've got to get an operating system update if you don't want to keep repeating the same habits. Because if you don't get that operating system update from the Holy Spirit, you'll repeat the same mistakes over and over and over. Because all you're doing is hanging on to the same apps and the same programs and the same way of thinking and the same way of processing things. Amen? So, let's embrace you 2.0. And just want to warn you, it's probably going to take longer than you anticipated. It won't feel as good as you think it might. And it won't feel as good as some people will tell you it's going to feel. Oh, it's a piece of cake. Oh, just go through it. We're just sharing real stuff here, right? I was on staff here full-time as youth pastor several years ago, and I was in the interview with Pastor Terry and Dr. Jesse Webb. And they're asking, you know, life questions. And Jesse Webb said, "Russell, have you ever been through anything traumatic?" And I sat there for a minute. I said, "No, I don't really think so. I really had a very good childhood and upbringing, but I'd also gone through divorce. No, I don't really think I've been through anything traumatic." And Pastor Terry looked at me and looked at Dr. Webb and said, "Hold on a minute." He said, "Would you?" And I'm thankful that he did that. He said, "You wouldn't call divorce traumatic?" And at that point, I was like, "Huh, yeah, I guess I would. That's kind of traumatic." Not until that point did I begin the healing process of what I had gone through several years before then. I needed to have that confrontation. And it wasn't anything, it was out of love, but he's just, "Time out. That's traumatic, son. You need to deal with that, grieve that, go through that, heal so you can move forward." Some things may not work like they used to, and there may be compatibility issues. You may need to delete something from your life that are not compatible with the Holy Spirit. It may cause the need for a hard reset, where everything is wiped to go back to the factory original settings. But once the new operating system has been accepted by your internal processor, because we have to make the choice inside. "Yeah, Lord, I accept this. I embrace this. So, yes, I want to start over." Then the life you dreamed of will begin to be something that you run toward instead of doubt that it even exists. Man, yeah, I could have a better life. I'm going to go toward that. Last scripture, and we're done. Jeremiah 29:11-14, because the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and from the places where I have driven you." That's a whole nother message in itself. "And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." Why would the Lord send somebody into exile? Well, they needed an operating system update. And it took exile to get their attention. To the point that they said, "Bring it. Do we want to start over and reset?" Yes. So I want us to pray. And Charlie, can you come just play something? Because I really think there's probably somebody here who has never had this life change operating system update. And so I want to open up the altar and the prayer team. You guys can come up. Because I want to offer you an opportunity. Because that's what it is, to come to the Creator who made you, back to the manufacturer who knows you better than anybody else, and get that restoration that we talked about. It may be mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, but it's got to start with that. So as Charlie starts to play, I'm going to pray, and the altar's open. You might be sitting there thinking, you know what? I really need this operating system update Russell's talking about. I know, I get that it's tech and it's computers and this kind of thing, but there's something inside me that says, you know what? I don't like the way I've been thinking. I don't like what's been going on. I need a redirection. I need something to be different. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you today. We open up these altars. We say, Father, we've all prayed before this started that, Lord, we want to hear from you. Father, I pray that we have heard from you. So if you're sitting out there now and you're thinking, yeah, I need this operating system update, then I just want you to stand up and come forward and receive prayer. And it may be something very simple, and don't discount the simple things that may be going through your mind right now. And then don't think the things that are major are too big for God to handle. But Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you moved us beyond information and to experience. So Father, we take that step today and we say, Lord, when you ask us, do we want to start over? We say, yes. We say, we want this change in our life. Lord, I want, and if that's you, I mean, just speak it, say it in your heart, say it out loud, and then don't be afraid or ashamed to come forward. Guys, you know, I heard somebody recently, where's Kelly? Kelly talked about, you know, the hard time they went through, horrible time, but it was family. We're family. And that's what we tell our youth. It's family. So if that's you, don't just sit there and think, oh, it's not me, it's not the Lord, you know, it's whatever. We thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us enough to send your son. And thank you, Father, that it wasn't just a book and a life of information, that your word is not just a historical document, but it is life-giving, changing power. So, Father, we thank you for those who are responding, those who, God, even in their seats, they're responding in their hearts right now. Lord, I ask you to meet the very need of their heart. Whatever that need may be, whether it's, I just hear the word loneliness. Well, God can change that operating system. And so if that's you, and you know what? Yeah, I've been having that feeling of loneliness. That's just the word that came to mind. Then don't sit there and wait anymore, but come, let some of the folks pray for you. Amen. not enough. It's another phrase I just heard. But there's been a feeling of, I'm not enough. And guys, that may have been an operating system that got planted in you by a parent, a teacher, an authority, whatever. But I'm here to tell you today that you are enough. You're more than enough because there's a God that is more than enough. But you need to change that operating system and let the Lord do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And just to remind you, doesn't matter what experiences you've had, whether in under your control or at the hands of others, God is in the business to restore and renew. What he does. You know, I stand up here as a picture, a poster child of God's restoring power. And he's not done yet. I'm going to need some more updates along the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here to move in this congregation. We thank you ahead of time for the work that is being done. Father, your word tells us that you're faithful to finish the things you start. Thank you that your promises are true. And I just feel like I right now need to pray for kids going back to school. If you're going back to school or have already started, would you just stand where you're at? I just want you, if you're starting school, going back to school, would you just stand where you are? I know we got kids downstairs. Awesome, cool. If you're near these people, would you just kind of lay your hands on them and just pray over them? Father, I just pray for this generation that you are raising up mighty warriors, children of God, who are going to have the power and the courage and the strength directly from you, not in their own strength, but in you, from you, to be able to take your word, your message, and their story to other young people, that this will be the generation where we see the tide turn, that things change, and it'll be the generation that'll see the return of our Lord. Father, I pray you protect their minds from false teaching, that you would give them the confidence to know who they are in you, and they would leave no doubt as to who you are in their life. Father, I for everyone that is standing, for every school represented, whether they're in this county or others, Lord, I pray that this person, each individual that is standing now, that they will be a light in a dark place this school year. That we'll begin to hear stories of revivals taking place in schools. Lord, I just hear you saying that there's going to be healings in schools this year because of these young people that are standing up now. So we thank you ahead of time for that. Again, may we all remember to pray for protection for these young people. Lord, you're the only one that can really hold them and carry them and protect them. So we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Great job, Pastor Russell. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Amen. He always brings an interesting word. I need four more minutes. Can you give me four more minutes? I know it's late, but I have a need that needs to be done today. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stretch your arms out. and say, thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. You may be seated. Our missionaries, if we can get that slide up, our missionaries in Mexico, Scott and Isabel, how many of you remember them? We have sent them out to do God's work, and they are in need of an update. And I would have waited till next week since it's so late, but we really needed to take up an offering for them today. They're transitioning from where they are in Mexico to another place that is in the mountainous region of Mexico, and their little car is not suitable for that area, so they need to update their car. And they found this little, Nissan Xterra or something of that nature. And it's a little bit more of an all-terrain vehicle. And they can get this, and they need $4,500 to be able to take care of the need to be able to get this vehicle that they need so they can travel in the area that God is sending them to. So I want you to give generously. We need to send this to them this week so they can make the purchase and go about Father's business over there in Mexico. They're giving up their comfort and their life here in order to be able to do God's work there. And we have sent them out as our missionaries to Mexico, and we want to be able to support them as well in their time of need. So if you don't mind, I want you to reach and get your wallet, get your checkbook, get your pocketbook. And the ushers are ready. You guys come on down. I don't know. I'd like to take up all of it today. But we really just need to be able to help them. They're just a beautiful, beautiful couple. And has a heart for God and a heart to tell others about Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, we pray for Scott and Isabel. We just thank you, God, that they're doing your work. And you said that you would meet every need. So we thank you for being their provider. And we thank you for us having an opportunity to partner and co-labor with you to meet their needs. So, Father, we give this in the name of Jesus. We give this with a heart of compassion and a heart of love. And we ask you to meet their need. We ask you, God, that they will be able to get this vehicle this week so they can... they won't be held up in their journey of going to this place that they're called to. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. We'll send it to them on Wednesday. So if you can bring it by the church, it'll be fine. One thing I do want to say, in that incompatibility with Pastor Russell and Pastor Terry concerning the newsletter, I know some of you are thinking, well, why don't you just go ahead and update? Well, my update will cost me $1,700 because I'd have to get another computer because my computer is so old, it won't update to their updated pages. So he left that out. So it just painted me like I was an old fogey and I won't update. So it's like, so Russell, you left out some important information. Where are you? Sorry about that. But anyway, my computer's fine. It works great. It's just too old to take the new update. They do things like that to make you buy another one. But anyway. All right. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your patience. And I especially want to thank you so much for your love. This is a very loving place, a very giving place. And Russell, thank you so much for that wonderful word of being updated. Amen. Amen. Now you can stand to your feet. Don't forget about the housewarming for Aaron Deck. I think it's this Saturday from 3 to 5, a housewarming shower. They're about to be married in 3 weeks. Is that true? So we can help them out. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for your awesome, awesome presence. Thank you for your love. We've experienced you today in a lot of different ways. And that for that, we're grateful. We just didn't have a meeting a gathering without inviting you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance and your direction and your protection. And we love you dearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.